Welcome to the CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to The Whole Woman, hosted by Lisa Shaw. The Whole Woman, a place for women of all ages to love, laugh, and live out loud for Christ. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk with the host or call in via our toll-free call-in number, 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at ChristianWomenAffiliate.com. Here's your host.
Praise the Lord, and welcome, ladies, to the Whole Woman Radio Program. My name is Lisa Shaw, and as always, I have the pleasure and privilege to be your host and God's servant on this radio program, and I take neither for granted. So thank you for either being live with me right now for the hour, or for joining in later on, listening in to the archived version. I appreciate the time that each one of you ladies take whenever you're able to take a moment to listen into the radio program. The feedback, as I always say, has been God-honoring, and I so appreciate the Lord for that, because everything that He does in our lives is good. Amen? I have been, like, busting, bubbling over at the seams this morning, singing a song that I so enjoy. We're going to pray in a minute and jump into the chapter, but I just wanted to share this with y'all. Many of you might know the song by Kurt Carr, In the Sanctuary, and I have been thoroughly enjoying praising the Lord to that song today. If you're unfamiliar with it, go on YouTube. Type in the Sanctuary, Thomas Kurt Carr, K-U-R-T, and be blessed in the Lord. It's a real praise song, and I've sang it for many, many years in church, and I've enjoyed it ever since. It made me miss my home church. Oh, okay, God is good. So let's pray, and then we're going to jump into chapter 8, Straddling the Fence. From my book, You Are Beautiful in God's Eyes. So let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We praise you because you're worthy to be praised. We love you because you're worthy of our love and because you first loved us. We worship you, God, because you are God. And beside you, there is none other. And we come to you this morning, Father, with a thankful heart. Thankful that we belong to you, thankful that you are our God. And I pray right now for all of the precious women that are listening in. I pray, Lord, that they would be encouraged. And I pray, Lord, that they would even be challenged in the message today as you challenge me, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would also grow, because through challenge we do grow. And I pray, Lord, that all of our hearts and our minds would be open to hear from you today, that we would take it in, that we would ingest it, that we would digest it, and we would live it. We would live it out, God, for your glory. The time has come, and we are beyond business as usual. We need to be about your business, Father, and part of that is not just serving in your kingdom, God, but part of that is walking and abiding in deep fellowship with you and really being willing and determined to get ourselves together in your presence and to really, really be the salt and the light of the world and to really, really be strong, good, living witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is my prayer for all of us today, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would just get down deep into those areas of our heart and deep into those crevices of our mind where things need to be changed. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't fight the change, that we would be flexible, that we would be willing because we love you and because you love us. So thank you for this time together, Lord. I pray that you would use me to speak to these women, your daughters. I pray they wouldn't hear Lisa, but that they would hear you as I am seeking to hear you, God. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, We are jumping in, as I said, to Chapter 8, Straddling the Fence, from my book, You Are Beautiful in God's Eyes. Now, we have one more week together. I just wanted to be clear on this because I got an email from one of the sisters in Christ this morning who was a little bit confused. It is a 10-chapter book, but this is a 9-week study because Chapter 10 you can read on your own. The title of it is My Heart to Yours. So, it's not really necessary for us to do it as a part of the radio program. So next week will be our last chapter that we're doing together in the book, and that chapter is Chapter 9, titled Deeper Beauty. And I'm really looking forward to closing out our 9-week study with that chapter. Now, let me answer part two of a question that sweet lady also wrote to me. It's not the end of the radio program. She said in her email, Lisa, does that mean it's the end of the radio program? No, we're going to move forward with the radio program every Thursday until God says otherwise, okay? We've been enjoying doing that since February 2nd of this year. So I hope that answers anyone else's questions that you may have. You're welcome to visit at my website, lisashawcares.com. And Michelle, you know who you are if you're listening. Yes, 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 I still have books that you can order. It doesn't matter that you're coming into the program at late into the study. Not only do I have the books, but I have the companion study guide as well that I did as a spiral bound, and I really kind of fancied it up and added in some more things that God gave me. So you can find all of that on my website, lisashawcares.com. Okay? Well, we've prayed and we've chatted, so let's jump in Chapter 8, Straddling the Fence. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. I'm going to read that to you out of the Amplified Version. John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24. And this is Jesus speaking to us. A time will come, however, indeed, it is already here, when the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking just such people as these, as his worshipers. God is a spirit, a spiritual being, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And what I love about the Amplified Version is right next to the word truth, it says reality in parentheses. So we must worship God with genuineness of spirit and in reality. That means in our day-to-day lives, being a Christian is not a title. It's not just a title that we wear, but it's a lifestyle we should be living. But I opened with John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 as a segue into talking about straddling the fence. Because when we're straddling the fence, we are living contrary to John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Straddling the fence is a lifestyle. It's actions. It's not so much the things that we say, the Christian type things that we say, but it's more about how we're living. It's not what we say as Christians, but it's how we live as Christians. Let me say it that way. Are we worshiping the God of the Bible? Are we worshiping the God that we say we believe in? Are we worshiping him in spirit and in truth, in reality? Or is our worship words? Is our worship just music? And solely what we may do for the kingdom. Is that our worship? Is our heart connected to our God? Or are we straddling the fence in areas of our lives that is keeping us from walking in deep, abiding, genuine fellowship with God? There's a whole lot of reality television programs out there today. And a lot of that reality television is probably not reality. There's a camera still on those individuals. So I'm sure that a lot of it you're getting is, if you watch reality television, a lot of it that people are getting is over-the-top stuff because there's a camera on them. But the reality that the Lord is presenting us with is, are we really living worshiping God in spirit and in truth as a reality? as a part of and a foundation of our daily lives. Now, I said when I was praying to God, you all heard me, I asked him to challenge us. Didn't I say that? I asked him to challenge us. I remember when Bishop Omer prayed a prayer that, oh, it blessed my socks off. And years and years and years ago, and I snatched that prayer and made it my own. And I changed it a little bit, but this essentially is the way I pray it. I ask God to confront, challenge, comfort, and change me into who he wants me to be. Bishop Omer prayed for God to confront and challenge and change us. So there's a great similarity there in the prayer. I snatched it, made it my own many years ago. And let me tell you something. It's not a prayer we should pray if we don't mean it. Because if you ask God to challenge you in your walk, to confront you about some things about yourself and about your walk, and to also comfort you in that, you know, so that you're not feeling all, you know, your mind blown, but also to change you. When we ask God, when we pray to God and ask him to confront and challenge and comfort and change us, he will. He will. So I don't want anybody to get upset with me about today's message, because you prayed the same prayer with me. We ask God to challenge us when we open the program. So in my book, I write about how there are two primary reasons for straddling the fence. There are other reasons, but there are two primary reasons: pride and disobedience, which go together, or being unaware and wounded. Now, you can also be living a blend of those things, where you got pride, disobedience, but you're also being, you're unaware of the things of God. You're wounded in your spirit, and you're really unaware of perhaps your experience with God is a Sunday morning experience, a few verses that a preacher may read, and you haven't gone deeper. Or maybe you're wounded in your personal life. You've got hurts that you've not yet been able to deal with in the presence of God, and that certainly can cause us to straddle the fence. Been there, done that, hated it, so I know what I'm talking about, because I lived that way from my teens through my upper 20s, and I'm 47. So I understand that walk, even though I gave my life to Christ at 12. So don't feel condemned if you straddle the fence in areas of your life. Now, you really have to read the chapter to understand the fullness of what I'm addressing here today. But I want to be clear that straddling the fence can mean being carnal and being prideful, disobedient, all of that, being rebellious. But straddling the fence can also be a person who loves God, who is serving in the kingdom of God, but has not fully surrendered areas to God that they know they need to surrender. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. So I don't want to get ahead of myself, so let's back up. I wanted to share with you some of the ways that I straddled the fence, especially in my 20s. Coming from, you know, a very wounded childhood. Many of you know my history. If not, a little bit, just a smidgen of it is in my book and, you know, on my blog and ministry website and so forth. But it was difficult, although I had given my life to Christ at 12, to really believe that I could be deeply loved by God. I knew that I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior at 12 years old. But I also knew what was going on in my private life, and I was so confused and so torn by the things that had been transpiring since my younger years prior to 12, and even at that point, and even into my mid-teens. And so my soul was troubled with, you know, I knew Grandma and Grandpa loved me, I knew God loved me, but I knew God as this far-off entity. I was able to be far more connected to my grandparents and to Jesus than I was to be connected to God as my father. So I knew him as this far-off entity. And I've shared about this before, so I'm not going to go into all that in detail now. But I definitely was not living in the fullness of God's love for me and the fullness of his truth found in his word. And yes, it's possible to be a Christian and live spiritually disconnected in some ways from God's love and his truth. It, you know, you can call it what you want, dryness or, you know, whatever you want to call it, but it is possible to live that way. Now, it's not possible to continue on like that indefinitely and be a Christian, but it is possible to live that type of experience. Here's the problem, though. When we're living spiritually disconnected as Christians from God's love and truth, remember I'm saying here as Christians, I'm not talking today to non-believers as we did last week. I'm talking mainly to us as Christians, okay? When that happens, when we live with that kind of separation, if you will, it's not that God's separating from us, but it's that we're straddling the fence, so we're separating from him in certain ways. But when that happens, it leaves us more susceptible to fall into anything, to any pattern of sin, to any temptation can overcome us, you know, anything. And so our walk and our talk, if it doesn't align, if what we're saying out of our mouth about being a Christian doesn't align with our walk as a Christian, then we can be blown all over the place by the enemy. And it also makes us not a good witness for people who don't know Jesus yet, and it makes us a poor witness for each other because we're all on different levels spiritually. So, you know, if we've been saved for, you know, 20, 30 years, and we haven't gotten ourselves together in God in terms of no longer straddling the fence, then we can also have a negative effect on other Christians, on newer Christians, or weaker Christians in the word, in the faith. So we need to get ourselves together so that we can be a positive influence on their lives as well. On page 57 in my book, I'm going to read two examples of straddling the fence. Number one, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I do believe in God, but I just feel like I'm missing something in this whole Christian experience. I can't really express how I feel. I'm just trying to make it every day. That's all I could do in this world. That's a person who is saved, who's confessed with her mouth, believing in her heart that Jesus Christ is her Lord and Savior, but she's not yet grasped walking in that deeper relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And more often than not, it's because there's a straddling of the fence going on there. We're going to talk more about what that is in a minute. Here's the other example. When I'm ready, I'll get serious about God. When I'm ready, I'll go to church, read the Bible, and pray. You just don't understand. It has to be when I'm ready. Doesn't mean that I'm not saved. It just means that, you know, all that other stuff that Christians do, I'll tap into it when I'm ready, when I'm ready. Now, that's a form of pride and obviously disobedience. That is pride and disobedience. And that leads to straddling the fence, definitely. So, again, those are two examples of the two primary reasons for fence straddling, pride and disobedience or being unaware and wounded, unaware and wounded, unaware of God's love and truth for you because you're wounded in your soul, you're wounded in your heart, in your mind, from things that were said to you or done to you or things you engaged in, and that has taken on a life of its own and begun to define who you are. And so it's difficult for you to then see yourself through God's eyes because you're busy you're trying to filter through all the noise of your past and through all the noise of other people trying to tell you, and the enemy, trying to tell you who you are or what you are or what you were, instead of listening to God saying who you are in him. Amen? So another example of how I straddled the fence, especially in my 20s, I used to say this statement all the time. It sounds to me almost ridiculous, well, saying it now, but I used to always say that I had one foot in heaven and one foot in hell. And we know the truth is that's not possible. We can't do both. Your feet are one place or the other. And I was saved. I was a Christian. But my mindset, my lifestyle didn't always reflect it in the decisions that I made and the ways that I looked at myself. There was a lot of guilt and shame and condemnation, a lot of insecurities and fear, feeling confused about my childhood, about the things that I experienced, about the fact that I couldn't discuss it, I couldn't come out with it. I felt just hindered in so many ways. And so I would often say, if I was smoking cigarettes or having a drink, I would say, you know, well, I got one foot in heaven, one foot in hell. It's the enemy's trap for us to make us think that we can live both ways. And I'm not suggesting that people who drink or smoke cigarettes are going to hell. That's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you how I was living, that I was so wrapped up in negative thinking about myself till I couldn't see that, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I couldn't get from that point to God the Father loves me and that I'm worthy of that love because of Christ's blood shed for me. There was years of a gap before I got to that truth and that reality. And as a result, in those in-between years, I straddled the fence. I was a people pleaser to the highest degree. I let people manipulate me and use me in ways sexually, my finances, my heart, you name it. And I'd still get up and go to work with a smile on my face and go to church and all of that stuff, but I was so hurt inside. So let me tell you, the enemy had me so defeated in my thoughts and in the way that I viewed myself. And I shared a lot more on page 59 of my book that you can read. I'm giving you some more examples of how I straddled the fence. But here's what I want you to understand. We can straddle the fence in some area of our lives, even while going to church, even while serving in some capacity. I have ministered by God's grace to women and men, but especially to women who have turned to me who are deaconesses in their church or pastors' wives or pastors themselves, or they're serving in children's ministry, teen ministry, young adult ministry. They're women's ministry directors. They are operating as ushers in some of them and greeters in their church. And they are experiencing straddling the fence in some area of their lives. And so I want you to understand that all of us can have that experience where we're straddling the fence. And straddling the fence means really we're carnal in some area. It means we're saying yes to our fleshly ways daily, far more than we're saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And it can also mean we're serving in the things of God, reading our devotionals, reading a few scriptures, praying, saying all of the, you know, the statements and phrases, the churchy words that we all use and all of that, but knowingly having areas of our life that we have not surrendered to God, areas where we are knowingly and willingly compromising against the truth of God's word. And I emphasize two words there, knowingly and willingly compromising against the truth of God's word. That's straddling the fence. When we are knowingly and willingly compromising against God's word and God's truth, that means we know that we're in something that's wrong, but we feel stuck. We don't even know how to see our way out of it, whether it's a negative way of thinking, negative behavior, unclean words, whatever it is, you feel stuck. And sometimes that's because, again, go back to those two primary reasons, either because of pride and disobedience or being unaware and wounded. But the reality is we don't have to live that way. Sin straddling keeps us in bondage. It keeps us from the abundance that God has for our lives. Sin straddling keeps us from truly experiencing the fullness of God's presence, his pleasure, his peace, his power, and even his provision in our lives. Now, let me pause here and say this. It doesn't mean that we won't experience God's presence, pleasure, peace, power, and provision at all. But it keeps us, fence straddling keeps us from truly experiencing the fullness of that. Let me take it into a natural example. It would be like a prodigal teenager. A prodigal teenager who is loved by their parents, who is raised in the things of God, maybe not perfectly, but the parents love them, nurtured them in the things of Christ, and this teenager decides, I want to go my own way in my behavior, in my thoughts. You know, I could care less about God. I don't want to hear it. I don't, you know. And maybe they gave their life to the Lord at, you know, at a young age, and then here they are 17, and they have all of the pulling of the world out there at school, and, you know, out in the street, they just got all this other stuff on media, social media and television and all of this other stuff pulling them against, or I should say away from God. And so they begin to live a prodigal lifestyle, okay? And so you have this prodigal teen, and you still love him. You still love her, even though she's a prodigal. You still pray for her or him, right? You still offer your love to them. You still tell them how much Jesus loves them, right? You still try to pour into them the right way to walk, the right way to go in God. You try to explain to them what you've taught them all along about the mistakes that they could fall into, the areas of sin, about the enemy and his attack on them, and all of this. And you try to feed them God's word, but they're determined, as the prodigal, to do it their way. Well, it doesn't mean that they're not going to receive your love or your presence in their lives, right? But it does mean that their behavior is hindering the fullness of what you have for them. Okay, so that's a natural example of what I mean by fence straddling can really cause us or keep us from truly experiencing the fullness of God's presence, pleasure, peace, power, and provision in our lives. It's not that we won't get it at all, but we'll be stuck and hindered from receiving it in its fullness. And, you know, all of us as parents, we love our children. We want our children to receive the fullness of God's love for them and the fullness of our love for them. We don't want them to behave in such a way where they're hindering their own self from receiving from us and receiving from God everything that we want to pour into them. Well, that's what God is saying to us as adults. He's saying, don't fence straddle, because daughter, son, when you do that, you prevent yourself from receiving the fullness of what I have for you, the fullness of my presence, the fullness of my pleasure in your life, the fullness of my peace, the fullness of my power, and the fullness of my provision in your life. That's what God is saying to us. Fence straddling can cause us to even be religious, but miss a relationship with God, a genuine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It can cause us, fence straddling can cause us to praise other things, to praise other people. That's why idolatry is so dangerous for us as Christians. We can fall into all of that and totally miss the deeper relationship that God wants to have with us. Does it mean we're not saved? Does it mean we're not going to go to heaven? No. Okay? As a Christian, you're going to heaven. However, we do have a say in how we live down here on earth. Jesus said, I have come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. So we can live as defeated, depleted, depressed Christians down here, or we can walk through the trials and tribulations of life knowing we have the victory, not trying to get the victory, but knowing we have the victory, because we can say, you know what, I stopped straddling the fence in this area and that area and that area, and I gave it to God, and now I'm walking in his fullness. The fullness that he has for me. And it'll be a journey. It'll be a journey because we all mess up. We do. We all mess up. That's why we need Jesus. But when we mess up, we got to get back in step with him quickly. Amen? Fence straddling doesn't block us from doing in the name of the kingdom, but doing without anointing and grace is just doing, right? But Jesus' focus for us is to bear fruit to the glory of the Father. Let's look at that in John chapter 15, verse 8. When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. I love wherever, all the places in the Word with Jesus. I love the Word. I'm sure you love the Word too. But I love all the places where Jesus is speaking to us directly. Oh, my goodness. It's like sitting right at his feet and having him give us instruction, having him pour love into us, and also having him discipline us and remind us and challenge us and encourage us and comfort us in his presence. Amen? So while fence straddling doesn't block us from doing things in church or outside of church that are kingdom associated, in other words, that are Christian based, but if we're fence straddling, we are going to lack anointing and the grace to do whatever it is that we're doing. And so it just works. It's just what we're just doing. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to just be doing things for the kingdom of God. I want to know that his anointing is on my life. I want to know that his grace is on my life to do whatever it is that I'm doing. And why? Because not because I want to walk around and go, I'm anointed. I really don't like when I hear Christians doing that. I hear that a lot on Christian television whenever I watch it, which is not often. But when I do, I hear all of that. Oh, I'm anointed. I've been anointed by God. Listen, if you're anointed, you don't have to announce it. It'll show. Amen? It'll show. It's like humility. We don't have to say, you know, I'm a humble person. I'm such a humble person. I'm so humble. We won't have to say it. If we're humble, it will show. Amen? So Jesus is saying, listen, when you bear much fruit, it glorifies and honors my Father in heaven, and it proves that you're a true follower of mine. And fence straddling blocks that. It hinders us greatly from being fruit bearers, not just doing for the kingdom of God, but bearing fruit. Bearing fruit with our lips, the words that we speak, with our attitude, the ways that we behave. Anybody else need an attitude adjustment? I got my hands up. We all need an attitude adjustment sometimes, right? But we want to be fruit bearers because then we're pleasing to God and he's honored. He's honored. Let me give you the scripture. It's Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, that I was raised to read this scripture. My grandmother, when she would put me in the porch with the King James Version of the Bible and have me read different scriptures every weekend, whenever me and my oldest brother were at their home, especially as children. And this is one of the scriptures that she had me read, and it used to scare me. Oh, my goodness. And when I asked her to explain it to me one day, and she did, I was a little bit older. I think I was probably in eighth grade then. And she explained it to me, and it really helped me to see, not then, but later in my life, God brought it back to me as remembrance that, Lisa, this really is a form of fence straddling, okay? You need to get it together. So let me read the scripture to you. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, and I'm using it in the context of fence straddling. You can go read it in its full context of what is being said there. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. This is Jesus speaking to us. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Ugh. Pause and take that in for a minute. When I was straddling the fence, you know, being saved and, you know, doing some church work, but definitely in my private life struggling tremendously, this was one of the scriptures, along with 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, Psalms 27 and 10, and a few others, but this was one of the scriptures that God brought back to my remembrance to help me to see, Lisa, don't walk lukewarm. Don't walk lukewarm. There is such danger in us being lukewarm in our walk. And again, I'm using this scripture the way God poured it into my spirit to help me when I was straddling the fence. So if you need it in this context, grab it, okay? Because we don't want to be lukewarm. Oh, I couldn't even, I don't want to displease God in that way, and I'm sure you don't either. If you want an example of lukewarm people, the Israelites, read Numbers chapter 13 and 14. All of the murmuring and groaning and complaining, all of that's a form of fence straddling. It's a form of being lukewarm. There's disobedience in that. There's pride in that. All of it. Just all of it. And just mumbling and groaning and complaining against God, even though God was blessing them. They just couldn't see their way clear to just appreciate what God was doing in their lives and the fact that he got them out of bondage. Amen? And sometimes we can be like that, ladies, where we're just complaining and murmuring and grumbling about this and that and the other thing instead of remembering what God has done for us, what he's brought us out of. I was ministering to this precious, precious woman, and she was telling me a particular thing. And in sharing, she said, and now I'm in a tiny house. And I said to her, but sis, God brought you from a mobile home to an apartment to a tiny house. Amen? And when I said it to her that way, she immediately said, I can't believe I'm complaining about my tiny house. You see, when we look back over what God has done for us, and what he's doing for us, it ought to shut our mouths, really. It ought to cause us to clamp down on that tongue when we're getting ready to sound like we're going to complain about something or whatever. It's like the weather. I used to join in a lot with people who would complain about the weather. Oh, I can't stand this rain. Oh, I can't stand this cold. Oh, I can't stand the heat. Oh, I can't. Until I realized, thank God for the rain. Oh, God, I thank you for the rain. I thank you for the cold weather. I thank you for the sunshine. I thank you for all of it. Why? Because it's all a part of his purpose, his plan for us down here on earth. And when we grumble, oh, I wish it was hot. I'm so tired of this cold weather. Then it's hot. Oh, I can't stand this heat. I'm looking forward to fall and winter. Oh, my goodness. We got to hear ourselves sometimes. We got to hear ourselves. And I'm giving you a lighter side, but sometimes it's more serious things that we're just grumbling about, that we're not just seeing the blessings of God in those things. So we got to be careful of that. All the deception of Satan and the flesh which wants to be appeased. You know, the Bible tells us in Mark 14 and 38 that our spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our spirit wants to glory in the presence of God. Our spirit wants to praise God. Our spirit wants to worship God. Our spirit wants to thank God. Our spirit does want to get up in the morning, no matter what condition the body's in. Our spirit does want to say, oh, God, thank you for another day. But the flesh is weak. The flesh wants to moan and groan about paying bills, about not feeling good, about the kids not listening, about your husband not doing something he was supposed to do for you, or about somebody irritating you and getting on your nerves, about somebody cutting you off in traffic. That's my area, y'all. I'm just confessing. Tell the truth, shame the devil. That's the area for me. People acting crazy on the road, oh, my goodness, I have to pray myself through that. But that's a story for a different day. But our spirit is willing. Our flesh is weak. But here's the blessing. We have a great cloud of witness. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3 tells us. We have a great cloud of witness. Read Hebrews chapter 11 first, and then read Hebrews chapter 12. We have a great cloud of witness that has gone before us. They're cheering us on, rooting us on for us to have a good finish. Amen? But we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set forth before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Hallelujah. We need to have that scripture. Just somebody please come to my home who knows how to write in calligraphy and put that across my office wall. That is a powerful scripture that really needs to be digested, really needs to be digested. We've got to focus, get off the straddling of the fence in various areas of our lives, and really realize that There are those who went before us, even my grandparents, not just those, you know, from biblical days, but those who went before us, who paved the way, who prayed us into our walk with God. Amen? Like my grandparents. They're in heaven now. And I want them to look down from heaven and see Lisa is walking with God. Lisa's walking with God. We got this great cloud of witness around us, cheering us on in the heavenlies, in the heavenly realm. So we need to throw off every sin, every weight, including filing the fence. We need to throw that nonsense off and stop being lukewarm in various areas of our Christian walk and really, really say, God, I'm going really going all the way with you. Yes, Lord, for the rest of my days. Yes, Lord. And when I mess up, when I fail, when I get off target, when I get off point, when my flesh rises up, when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, God, may your Holy Spirit convict me of sin immediately and draw me into a place of repentance and back in step with you. That's got to be our prayer. I love how Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. He tells us that he was already, he knew he was about to be sacrificed. He's being poured out like a drink offering. He knew his time was coming to an end. But I love verse 7. He said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race, and I kept the faith. I want that to be our cry when our time is coming, ladies, when it's time for us to close our eyes for the last time. I want it to be our cry out where we're saying, God, I fought a good fight of faith. I walked with you. I was sloppy in it. I messed up. But I thank you, God, that you kept me and you helped me to keep the faith because I kept my eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Ladies, when we're stuck in straddling the fence in any area of our lives as Christians, it messes with our walk, it messes with our witness, it messes with our ability to be a blessing to others to the degree that God wants to use us, and it also definitely hinders us from seeing ourselves in God's eyes, which is why I wrote that chapter in the book, You Are Beautiful in God's Eyes, because straddling the fence will hinder us from really being able to see. There was this sweet, sweet woman recently, someplace that I ministered, and I got a private email from a woman who had come up to me for prayer but felt a little uncomfortable with all the women around. So she asked if she could reach out to me, and of course, that was no problem. And she said to me that the word, I had prayed and created cards of the ways God sees us, and I did this at various functions that I've ministered at this year on my book. And I pray over that, and I ask God to make sure that each woman selects the name that he has for her. And so this particular precious woman emailed me, and she said, I keep looking at the card, and I'm struggling to believe it. I'm struggling to see myself as his beloved, which was the name that she had drawn of how God sees her. And the more we went back and forth in email, and I learned some things about her, and I was able to encourage her in different areas, but also to challenge her in some areas. Because when we really, as Christian women, can't see ourselves in God's eyes, there's something else going on. The enemy, who is the great deceptor, the deceiver, is blocking us. But also our flesh is cooperating with him. There's some way that we're not aligned with the word of God. And so it's hard for us to then receive the truth of God's word that you are his beloved. Amen? You're his workmanship, his masterpiece. We are everything and more in the word of God. And we need to know it. We shouldn't just say, oh, I know who I am in Christ. We need to really know it. And if we really know it, it's going to affect some of the ways that we act, some of the ways that we think, some of the things that we say. There are some things that, you know, some ways that I'm treated sometimes by people, and I'm sure there are ways you're treated sometimes by people that just hurts you. It just breaks your heart. Sometimes you just don't even understand it. And you think, okay, God, I'm trying to be a blessing. I don't get it. And it hurts. And, you know, it may be something different for you, but for me, I always have to fight not shutting down on people. I can love on anyone, minister to everyone, but if you hurt me deep, you hurt me up close, it's hard for me. Sometimes I have to fight not to shut off, not to say, well, that's it, see ya, toodles, bye-bye. You only got one chance to hurt me like that. I have to, I can forgive the person, but it's so hard for me to let them back up close and personal. Anybody else have that struggle? Am I by myself? So we have to learn to really want the word of God, to really see ourselves in his eyes the way that he sees us, so that we know that, you know what, even when people hurt us and even when sadly we hurt other people, we can turn around and ask for forgiveness to God. We can get ourselves back together, and we can know that God loves us and that we're beautiful in his eyes. What a beautiful truth. What a beautiful truth. You are beautiful in God's eyes. Yes, you are. It is not about the way we look, our what we do, where we're at, where we live, our education status, our social status, our whatever status. No, when God looks down from heaven, he says, you're mine. I love you. You're precious in my sight, and you're beautiful in my eyes. Mm. What I've learned in 47 years is that living for God fully means really being willing to accept his word. His word, his will, and his way. And that is a journey, ladies, that we are all on. We're going to be on that journey until he calls us home. Really learning and realizing the truth that God loves us and that his ways, his will, and his word is absolutely perfect for our lives. So we should not only believe in him, we should believe him. Amen. I did a teaching on that earlier in the year on my website, LisaStruckHairs.com. It was a part of a series, Tapping Heaven's Heart, where I talked about the difference between believing in God and believing God. Both are necessary for our Christian walk. And my prayer for you right now is that you won't just turn off this program and move on with your day, but that you'll take a few moments in prayer with God. Talk to God. Talk to him now about where you're at in your walk with him. Sometimes we think we're okay. You know, sometimes we'll say, well, look, everybody makes mistakes and nobody's perfect, and all of that's true. But don't you want to come out of complacency and mediocrity? I know I do. I don't want to live like that. I want to be in deep fellowship with God. And I enjoy my walk with God, but I'm ever always craving to walk more deeply and intimately with him. And that's work, ladies. That is work. It's a pruning of our flesh. Oh, help me, Lord. It's a pruning of our fleshly ways. Anybody out there saying amen? And being pruned by God is not easy, but it is rewarding. Because the more he cuts away and chips away and removes the things connected to our mouths and our minds and our hearts and our behaviors and our ways of doing things, the more he cuts away the stuff, the junk, the messy stuff that messes us up, the more he prunes that and cuts away at those areas, the more we look like his son, Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Mm. So I pray that you'll spend time with God today, talking to him about where you're at in your walk with him. I often say that when we examine ourselves, and I do believe in examining myself in accordance with the word, but I also believe in asking God what he thinks about whatever it is concerning me, because oftentimes we can have an opinion of ourselves that doesn't quite line up with what God says. And so we might think, you know, oh, yeah, I got a really strong prayer life, and if we ask God, you know, he might challenge you a little bit on it. You know, we might think that, you know, that that we're kind, that kindness is not an issue for us, or that gentleness, you know, both are fruits of the Spirit, that it's not an issue for us. But if we ask God to show us ourselves, sometimes he will show us something different, and not to badger or beat us over the head with it, but in order to bring light, bring awareness to that area of sin so that we can swiftly repent and then ask God to help us to walk it the right way. We can't do it without him, ladies and gentlemen. We need him. We need Jesus. Amen. Well, it has been a pleasure sharing with you today on the Whole Woman Radio program. I hope that there was something in this message that encouraged you in some way and drew you closer to Christ. And I want you to remember that he loves you and that you're his. Next week, our last chapter together, Deeper Beauty, from the book You Are Beautiful in God's Eyes. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm praying for you. I love y'all. I love hearing from you. Please write to me. I had a woman who wrote to me who said, I've always wanted to write to you back when I used to read your blog, but I figured everybody else was writing to you, so you're too busy. Well, I'm going to be truthful that, you know, I may not respond immediately, but I love hearing from all of you, and I pray over you. I pray over you even if I don't hear from you. I pray over each one of you. I pray for not only God's people, but I pray for people who don't know him yet through Jesus Christ. And I think that's very important, just as important. We should pray for each other in the body of Christ, but we need to pray for those who don't know God yet through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to pray for our nation. We're in a voting season, and, you know, I'm not going to get into all of that. But, you know, if you're a Christian, vote based on the word of God, y'all, okay? The word of God, not on our opinions and our feelings and our emotions and our traditions and our, you know, and our stuff, but based on, as Christians, I vote according to God's word, as close as I can get to it in the voting. Amen. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for everyone in our nation and in the world. And whatever party you're affiliated with, I don't get stuck in that because I always tell people I'm Christian. That's who I'm affiliated with, Christ. Amen? So let us pray as Christians. God has called us to pray. He said, if my people who are called by my name, he didn't say that if anyone and everyone prays to me that I'm going to work it out. He said, if my people, not just people who say they're Christian but may not be living the Christian lifestyle. He said, if my people, not just people who, you know, have Bibles in their desk drawer. He said, if my people, that means people who are walking in relationship with God, people who are saved through the blood of Jesus, who are walking with God. He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. We need our land healed. So we, the Christians, we need to be praying. We don't need to be fighting with each other, arguing with each other, tearing each other down for the different party sides that we're on. We need to be collectively praying for God's mercy and for a Christ-centered change to come to our world, to our nation especially. And we need to stand together that the name of Jesus would be lifted up, not by others, but by us, that we would be lifting up the name of Jesus, that we would take a stand for him because he took a stand for us. Amen? So that was a little side note. That wasn't a part of the message today. Don't write me any emails of upset because, you know, if you know me, then you already know where I stand. Okay, if you follow me at all in ministry, then you already know where my heart is. I stand for Jesus. I stand for biblical principles. I don't walk them perfectly, but I walk them as closely as I can through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I mess up, my lifestyle is to repent and get myself straight. So y'all know I do a lot of repenting. That's just the truth. But I am determined to please God. And that has meant losing friends. That has meant people not liking me, even if they don't really know me very well. It means sometimes being persecuted. It means having to delete nasty emails and not respond. It means feeling separated sometimes from people that you love. It means a lot. But you know what? Jesus endured so much more for us. So whatever we got to walk through, down here, we need to walk through it still giving him the praise and asking him to help us to stand for him. We got to know what we believe. We've got to stand for what we believe, and we've got to share what we believe. Amen. The God of the Bible, his word should be alive and active in us. The God of the Bible is who we should be standing for in our lives, our day-to-day lives. We shouldn't be hating on everybody else, but we should be standing for the God of the Bible. If we call ourselves Christian, C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ, and then I-A-N, Christian. First part of Christian is the word Christ. If we're going to carry that title, then we need to carry his heart. Amen? And again, this is not about perfection. We all mess up. But let us not use the excuse of oh, I'm not perfect, or, you know, let us not be compromising. Let us come out of that. Let us come out of wanting to please everybody else or being afraid that we won't be liked and won't be accepted because we're taking biblical stances on things. We can, and we should take our stance, but with humility and respect, not with vulgarity, not with hatred, but with humility and respect, but unapologetically. We should stand for Jesus unapologetically. Amen? Because he stood for us. I love y'all. Thank you for listening to the message. And thank you for listening to my little side note, my last 6 minutes chatting with you. I appreciate the time with you. I'll see you next Thursday on the Whole Woman Radio program at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. If you're not able to listen in live, you can always come back and listen to the archive. If you'd like to reach me, you can reach me through lisashawcares.com. That's my website. Would love to hear from you. If you're on social media, then jump on You Are Beautiful in God's Eyes. I would love it if you'd click like on my page and hang with me. Join me. Let's share Jesus together. If you're on Twitter, you can find me over there also. And all of the social media, blogs, and all of that, you can find through my website, the links of how to connect with me. But don't just click follow. Reach out. Connect with me. You know, I like connection. I don't care about numbers. So I'm not looking for, you know, getting big numbers on social media. I like connection. So if you get on any of my social media, please reach out to me so I know you're there. And if you need to talk privately, you can message me, direct message me, or email me, and I will respond to you at my earliest convenience. I love y'all. God bless you. Enjoy your Thursday. And if it's not Thursday when you listen to this message, enjoy your day. And may the blessings of the Lord add richly to your life as you draw closer and deeper to him. He loves you. You're his. God bless you.